So,
welcome. Okay, wait. Can we clap? Should we clap? Okay. Second episode.
Dun 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 dun. It's the Friends intro. Come on, everybody. Okay. So we have a second drink. This is. Oh boy.
I need a chunk. Hold on. Mm-hmm.
Spicy. It actually wasn't.
She can
bad.
Do that with Fireball.
Oh wow.
You're disgusting. Wow.
Well, okay, like there are no, drinks where I'm like I don't really like it, but it's like something to hydrate me, and I feel this is kind of it.
Yeah,
I tend to appreciate drinks where every sip is like, oh, that's crisp and sweet and delicious.
Yeah, I actually really liked that.
I had this lemonade earlier this week from the gas station. It was really really good.
Can we freshen your drink?
Let's talk about this because I got you that giant liter of lemonade when we had pizza.
She did.
I introduced you.
She did. You didn't have any though, did you?
I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, welcome back. This is episode part two.
Episode part two.
Episode part two.
You have to call it that. You can't say any numbers. It has to be episode part two.
Yeah. Of Trey and Ashley, our first episode was introductions, and now we're moving into the juicy content.
Ooh. What is this, a podcast? What are we doing here? Who are we?
Oh, shit. Who are you?
I'm Jill Guy, and I assume that anybody who picks up a podcast immediately jumps to a random episode, so we always have to do an intro.
My name's Naomi Guy, and this is Trey and Ashley.
Yep.
Hi.
Siblings. I mean,
we're drinking a spicy mango something.
I'm excited. Don't even know what it's called.
Hold
on. Oh, God.
Oh. It's a spicy mango lemonade.
Oh,
are you the only person, or is it spicy?
No, that's like a back of the throat.
It's like, have you ever had those chili lollipops?
Yeah, it's like the Mexican candy.
It's like they it's like they melted it and put it into a cup.
That actually, my Spanish side is loving that, so I'm just gonna.
I mean, I don't hate it. The thing is that it's like a pepper packet from like a pizza restaurant.
That's like all the way the back of the throat. Oh my God.
So, I asked you guys, because I knew this was going to be a two-part episode, if you guys could send me your favorite pictures of each other. And it was really funny because I think it was the same photo shoot, but like a pose off, that you guys both sent me like the same picture. And it was so funny.
Here's a little behind the scenes. One of the photos we're using on our website is actually a composite of two photos we took right after each other.
I actually photoshopped it. I was very proud of it.
If you look really closely, you can make it out. But like one of them, I'm like, oh, I love this side of me. And Naomi's like, well, I hate how I look in this photo.
He had
this
crazy
one.
Eyes in the original picture.
Oh my gosh.
He was like, no, so I only bring up the pictures that I asked you guys for because wonderful Ashley was talking about her mother birthing hips. And if you want to see those, go check out the picture.
God, Naomi, this is not a first podcast.
You just go to her personal
page. The sexiest photographer in Southwest.
I do have my personal page, and I guess we'll get into that a little
bit
later.
Yeah, we'll let you guys plug those. And
oh, you don't have to plug mine. There's nothing to see on mine.
It's just a bunch
of photography. Just kidding.
That's also on our photography page, so you can just go one stop and see that.
This is true.
So, getting into the juicy parts. Spicy.
Is it the mango lemonade?
Yeah. I don't know how to describe that.
Spicy.
Yeah, I guess that's a... Wait, do it.
Why is it spicy?
So, Ashley.
Yes?
This is like an interesting topic to talk about, but I don't know how to approach it.
Yeah.
Me myself, I'm studying to be a sexual educator, but it's still like kind of awkward to be like, so HSV2, tell us about it.
Yes.
So HSV2, tell us about it.
So I'm obviously not a doctor, and I've had it for about, I like to call it my anniversary, on my like date that I found out that I had it,
we have a party for it.
Oh, okay.
You do not, but maybe we should. But I actually, crazy enough, I found out the day after my birthday. So my birthday is April 23rd. I got diagnosed with it April 24th of 2020.
Okay.
It is a virus that is sexually transmitted. It's a STD, STD. And it gets can be HSV-1 and HSV-2 are two different things. So if we're really calling it what it is nowadays in society, it's herpes.
Of the genital form.
Yes, of the genital form. So HSV-2 is the genital form. HSV-1 is oral form. Yes. So, but the way that that can be differentiated, HSV-1, you can actually get on your genitals. So if you are given it, you know, it's how you get it. So like for me, I got it from my partner at the time, his genital region. If someone were to give you oral and they had literally a cold sore, you can still give someone HSV-1, genitally. So someone can be like, yeah, no, I have it on my genitals, but it's HSV-1. So it actually can be different. It can flip flop, which is very complex. So it's just a whole thing where it's like, really, if you're talking to a person and they're like, yeah, I have it, you really just have to, if they're open about it and okay with talking about it, you know, it's like, well, how'd you get it? And that's really how you could figure it out. But it's all different. And sometimes people have both. People can have HSV-2 and HSV-1 genitally, and same thing with oral.
Did you know that your partner had it before that partner transmitted it to you?
So, I have a whole complicated story with my thing. So I'll kind of go into that. So I was in a really super toxic relationship. My freshman year of high school, and it kind of fluttered out into my college. So probably like, I would say from about 13, 14 years of age to about 20 years of age, I was on and off at the end with my partner from high school. We met in band when we were in middle school, and he was actually a year younger than I was. So I went into my freshman year of high school. He was still an eighth grader at our middle school. We dated for a while, and I got cheated on a bunch of times. And then it got to a point where he had actually lost his virginity while we were on a break. And I wasn't told until later on. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18. And then I actually started out this whole like STD sexual education thing when I was 18, because I actually had went and started dating someone else. Me and that person started not having a good relationship. And I'm open about this. I cheated on this person with my ex from high school, who is the one who I suppose gave it to me. I didn't know anything at the time. I've had chlamydia and gonorrhea twice, actually, because it didn't get cured.
Twice for both?
Twice for both.
Okay, okay.
So the way that it worked was that my medication didn't fully, like, heal me, I guess is easier term to say.
You take like the horse pills or how did you?
Actually I had to get a shot in my ass and I had to take horse pills.
Okay. So you really were a horse.
I'm sorry. I genuinely don't know. Is horse pills a euphemism?
No, it's just the size of them.
They're literally so large. Yeah. Like some STD pills are so large for some reason. And my partner at the time actually also got, so I don't really know how to go about it. My high school and then my, in the beginning of college, boyfriend.
Got it. We'll call him boyfriend one.
Okay, so boyfriend one and boyfriend two, because I guess that's my, they were my first.
We can also go with boyfriend A or boyfriend B.
Okay, great. Yeah. Fantastic.
Whatever you want in front of us.
So boyfriend two actually ended up getting chlamydia. I don't remember which one actually at this point. It's been so long, but
STI.
Yes, he got an STI. We actually both got a shot in the ass the same exact day.
You went in together, held hands.
We did not. We went to both very different doctors, but yes.
It was a bonding experience.
It was. We texted each other afterward. It was hilarious, but at the same time, it was very scary. We figured all that out. And at the time, honestly, like, you know, I was like, holy shit, this is my first interaction with any STD ever. And I was like, you never think. And I was so upset at the time because I was like, oh, I've literally been with only two people ever sexually. Yeah. Like two, like monogamous relationships, like was ready, you know, like to settle down with these people. Obviously I was young and whatever, but, that ended up happening, and those were my first interactions with it. Come later on, I've had chlamydia more than those multiple times. It kept coming back. I didn't know why. then I talked to my partner and I was like, hey, I'm going back in. And this was boyfriend one. This is like, we were talking when I was in college. I was no longer with boyfriend two. And I was trying to figure my shit out with this toxic relationship. Ended up trying to be like, hey, I'm still having woman problems down south. So I'm going to go to the doctor and try to figure this out. They were like, you still have chlamydia. I was like, how? Literally, I've taken pills multiple times. No clue how. And I was at my best friend's house and he texts me and he was like, I know what I have. And I was just like, excuse me? Like, what? And he was like, yeah, I have like herpes. Like, I have HSV2. And I am such an open person about it that I was just like, okay. And I wanted to be with this. Obviously, I'd been off and on. I cheated on someone for him. It was one of those things where I was so unconfident in myself at the time and so like down a tier that I was like, I would do anything for this person to try to make this relationship work. And at that time, romanticizing STDs and being like, oh, if I can stay with this person just because, and try to work this out. And, oh, I don't care if I get it. That was my brain at the point. Like, I was literally like, I don't care if I get it. And so for
So you didn't have it at this point when he told you?
Okay. No. So okay. From what I know. So okay. I was not having outbreaks, I'll say, at this point. I didn't have any signs of it. Nothing. Proceeded to have sexual intercourse with him after this time. Stupidly enough, 19-year-old in a toxic relationship, on and off. It would be times where he would take the condom off. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, I don't have an outbreak. And at this time, I never read up on it. I should have. But of course, you know, it's not something that you're going to be like, hey, mom, like how I just didn't have that like in me to go and like check. So I did as much research on it as I could. But at the same time, I was like, oh, OK, he doesn't have an outbreak. So it doesn't, you know.
And I trust this person. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I trusted him with my life at that point.
Well, I'm deeply confused. Sorry to butt in just a second. They didn't go over this in the meticulous sex ed course you received in Gilbert Public Schools.
Thank you. Yeah. So the extent of sexual education at my school was anatomy and how
did we even get
work.
That?
I got anatomy.
This is a PP and this is
a vagina.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are your jimmies.
Yeah, right.
This is what you pee out of. Now go do things.
They said this is a tampon and they didn't explain anything like where it goes or like what happens or why you need to use one.
She actually just explained how tampons work to me. Not like how they work, but like how they're like not sized either because that's wrong.
But like, no, but like how they expand.
So yeah.
Did
so
you do the water thing?
No.
Okay. Oh my god, I can't. He literally shows me this TikTok of this guy pretending like he's in like a store and he's like, hey, so I need what for like
lemon flavor?
He's like, can I have a large tampon?
Yeah.
And the dude was like, so I'm sorry, sir, a what?
A what?
He was like, this is what he said in the video. He said, a large tampon, you know, for the fat poom poom gals. And he goes, sir, that's not how they work. And he was like, what do you mean? He was like, they go like based on the flow that they have. Yeah. So it was like a light flow, a medium flow, or a heavy flow. Which one is your girlfriend? And the dude goes, my girlfriend doesn't rap. But I censor that because I literally said almost the same thing to her explained it.
And I was like, babe.
Because I was like, oh, I need to go to like change like my tampon. She was like, and I had like the super plus.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that like a large tampon?
Like he literally thought like I just had like a wide set vagina. Yeah.
I was like, does that mean you have like a big pussy? And she was like, that's not how it works.
It's
and I was
perfect
like,
for birthday.
Yes. Perfect.
She was like, that's not how it works. And I was like, well, I don't know how it works. I was just going, because I didn't know. Like,
no, that's totally fair.
Yeah. And so like, I didn't know. Very, very ignorant of me. But I was like, I wasn't like.
Have you seen those videos of people that are like, I need the lemon flavored or the light? Because you know how all of them are like different color, like some of them are green and some of them are yellow and some of them are purple.
God.
So like in those like YouTube or like TikTok prank videos, they'll be like, excuse me, can I please have the lemon flavored tampon.
I have not seen that. Yeah.
So that's what I assumed you were going to talk about.
No, I was just, I was just dumb.
No, it's totally fair.
No, but also, I was just really, really dumb. So I was like,
no, because if I were to ask like any random person on the street, like, did you know about, okay, yeah. You're special.
In a good way.
He's well read. Yes. Yeah, he's well read.
I don't know about horse pills, apparently.
That just means you're very healthy.
Yes, that is true.
Right? Legit.
No, that's totally... I don't think if I were to walk up to a random person on the street and be like, hey, do you need a tampon for your fat poom poom? They know that that's just a larger flow tampon.
Yes.
Anyways, moving on, going back to your story.
Yeah.
About trusting, that's trusting. Where you were at. Yeah.
So, I, like, was saying, taking condom off, putting condom back on was a whole thing. So, I am, you know, now it's been to a point where there was one night, at this point, I wasn't in a relationship. We were literally just, like, hooking up at that point. It was one of those things, like, we've literally been off and on for 5 years. I love you, but, like, this isn't working. And it's it was just sex at that point.
Yeah, there's feelings, but you know. There was feelings,
right. But it was just, like, he was so manipulative and wanted me as, like, his... I started gaining weight at some point when I started birth control. And it got
which
to a point.
Which is completely natural. Right,
completely normal. And I literally remember one day I was like, oh, I'm getting stretch marks. And I was already, literally I was like 170 pounds at that point and thought that I was like obese. Like I literally, my body mass index was something that I was constantly looking at. Like I saw stretch marks popping up and like literally almost started crying in his room at this point. And he was just like, oh, well, you know, and later on when this whole like herpes thing had come about, that was something that I like, we had talked about it and the way that it tied in, we talked about herpes and I was like trying to get information out of him about sex and stuff. And I was like, why haven't we been having sex as much? And he literally was like, well, something, it just blows my mind at this point. He literally was like, well, I've just been worried about your health and your weight and like all this stuff. So literally deflecting the fact that
he was
like,
gaslighting you.
Absolutely. Pretty much the whole last like 4 years of our relationship was gaslit the whole time.
Nice.
And so finally my last straw with that was, I went to go down on him and he still had a scab.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried the whole way home because at that point in my brain, from what I knew about herpes at the time, I was like, there is no. So the way that herpes works is there has to be an open lesion. So you have to
in order to transmit.
Okay. There is a 50% chance if you are not protected by condoms, whatever.
Yeah.
That you can still get it because your mucus that you have down there or any sort of like wetness, anything can still have the virus in it. Mm-hmm. So it's just lesser of a chance.
Okay.
So for guys, it's a little bit less, like you're less able to give it because you don't have as much secretion of anything.
Yeah.
So with women, it's different because you have a little bit more.
You're always secreting. Yeah.
And so, cried the whole way home. I was talking to another guy at the time and I was like telling him all this stuff. That ends up being boyfriend three. Boyfriend three and me were together for 2 years, until like a year and some change ago. It crazy enough, I went to go get an STD test before I started dating him and before we started having intercourse because he knew of everything.
That's fair.
He knew that my boyfriend number one had it. We had this whole conversation about like everything and how we were going to go about it. I went and got tested.
And it's always smart before you get with a new partner to go get an STD test. Be like, hey, you should go get an STD test too, because I don't want to take another fucking horse pill or have a shot up my ass. Yep, so.
Exactly.
Hot tip, hang out near college campuses. Often their health clinics offer free testing.
Yes,
Or they provide vouchers to be used at clinics around their area. And free condoms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that because I didn't go to college.
Yeah.
You just went into the military.
Unfortunately.
Don't they give you STD tests like once a year to make sure you don't have like any AIDS or HIV or something?
You got to go in on your own.
Oh, That's unfortunate.
They don't just like, hey, go get STDs.
So right. They're willing,
they don't care about you that much.
They're willing to kick people out for having flat feet, but not for having genital sores.
Jeez, wow. You get kicked out for all kinds of stupid stuff. Huh.
Yeah.
God bless our troops.
The military does not care about your well-being. I will say that right now. Now, don't let that stop you. If you're a real patriot and you really want to serve your country. No, he's wanting to stop you. Yeah, no, like, really, no, really, like, go for it.
I'm sorry, can I just say something? To me, it's a red flag to have someone in the military that I'm, like, dating. I've been there, done that twice. Not fun, because usually they're either extremely narcissistic or they're fucking married. They are fucking married.
Whoa.
Naomi hasn't seen the benefits of housing credits.
They also think she understands all the hidden give you perks. Chlamydia, so...
Everyone in the military gives you chlamydia. Naomi has said it. It is true. I want to interject here with just a couple of things to provide some context to our listeners. So you're being very honest and open, and we deeply appreciate that. I think a lot of people who do have STIs, STDs are probably more hesitant to talk openly about these.
For sure.
And I think something that a lot of people don't understand is how common STIs and STDs 1,000%.
Are. 80% of... the world literally has herpes, whether you know it or not, and whether you show symptoms or not.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that statistic?
80%.
80%
of people have herpes.
HSV-1 and or HSV-2.
Either or. Okay. But most people can literally get it. You can get it from drinking out of a cup from your grandma. Like kissing your grandma on the mouth. Yeah. Literally, grandma. the virus actually, it's crazy because the virus actually sits in the base of your spine and it goes to your nerve endings.
It's like acid.
Yeah. Wow.
Grandma.
Grandma.
We always have fun at grandma's house.
Yes.
Not grams.
Yeah.
I want to push back slightly. The CDC says that they think about 20% of the U.S. population has it. That said, those, I think, are actually tested people.
Correct.
I'm sure a vast majority of people never get STI, STD tests. So they say 20% of the U.S. population, 1 in 5, has an STI on any given day. This was in 2018. It estimates it's about $16 billion in healthcare costs.
Yep.
On an annual basis. And that's 8 different STIs people might have. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, hepatitis B, herpes simplex, number 2, human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, human papillomavirus, HPV, syphilis, chlamydia, trichomoniasis, genital herpes, and HPV accounted for 98% of all prevalent STIs and 93% of all new STIs in 2018.
Yep.
So there are some that have staying power. There are definitely some that have been sticking around longer than others. And I don't think people should feel ashamed if they do happen to discover that they have STIs, STDs.
Absolutely.
These things have been around for most of human history. Yep. They're not going away anytime soon.
I think it's just scary, honestly, talking about like how a lot of people don't know that they should get tested as often. It's kind of like with COVID, because people were just like, oh, I don't need to get tested after every time that I see someone. But it was kind of just like, you do, like if you want to make sure that you're not like transmitting anything to Gram-Gram.
I think it's just a thing though, there's not a lot of people that think about it like until they
most people are so naive
A lot of people even if they do, they're just like, oh, I've had so many sexual partners that I don't even want to know.
I've gotten tested one time, and it's because that one time I found out that I had gotten chlamydia from someone.
I think these are all important things. And I think, again, pushing back slightly, probably one of the reasons people don't get tested nearly as often as they should is because our healthcare system sucks.
Yes.
It turns out that people are more likely to get testing if they don't have to spend an arm and a leg on testing.
No, it's I think it's like, okay, for a full panel screening at Planned Parenthood, it's $150. If you just want like just one, like chlamydia or like gonorrhea or like...
Literally a full panel. So my third boyfriend, who was with me when I found out that I had it, he actually went and got a full panel done. And I'm literally telling your listeners at this point that on a full panel, if you ask for a full panel at the doctor's office, they do not include herpes.
Oh, boy.
They don't include it because it is so complex to the point where you can have it in your body and be asymptomatic for the rest of your life. So unless you can get swabbed and you can come in and say, I have a physical lesion on me.
Yeah.
They're not going to test you. So you have to manually ask for it.
So that's why, like, so many people.
Yes.
That's why. Okay.
1,000%.
Okay.
So that's why so many people, because doctors, literally, I went in multiple times while I was dating boyfriend one who had it and was like, can you please, like, test me for it? And they were like, well, you know, we don't want to test you, Justin. And I was like, no, like, I'm literally dating someone who has it. I would like to know. And every single time they would fight me on it. And they would be like, well, it's not something unless you're showing symptoms. And it's like, because it's not a life or death situation at that point, they don't want to, I guess.
You're literally paying them to do a service for you. So why the fuck would they not test you?
End price for end price for that is $500 to $700 for a full panel without insurance. So my third boyfriend, who was with me when I got it, literally paid close to $700 for a panel.
God,
that's
insane.
Yeah,
and again,
because he didn't have health insurance.
The recommendation is do that before you start having sex with any new partners, which is completely unreasonable, out of reach for, I would say, most Americans.
Yeah, if not most, absolutely.
I don't know what the healthcare system is in Europe.
A lot of people just like take a test if someone has said like, "Hey, I have symptoms or I do have this," and then they'll just go in and just get like a chlamydia test because I think it's like $20 on average for a chlamydia
test. That's what happened with my boyfriend who had it. He went, he got a lesion and went in for herpes specifically. They tested him for it, swabbed him for it, and was like, yes, you do have HSV2. And that's the reason I got chlamydia so many times, was because all they tested and all he could afford was the herpes test. They didn't fully panel test him at that point, which I think is ridiculous, because it's like,
also, he had it the entire time and they
Everybody knows.
She just didn't know. Yeah. Secret menus are for in and out, not for healthcare.
Oh my
Jeez.
God. Yes.
Can I get the animal fries with a side of herpes test?
Yes.
This is such a big issue because as someone who's not a medical professional who has no training in healthcare, I have no idea what's abnormal and what isn't. I know I have friends who have like bones in weird places. Yeah. That's just like a birth defect or whatever.
Right.
You know, they have weird splotches on their body. They have weird lumps, and that's been something that they've had for a while. I'm sure some of those things are probably dangerous, but it's like, how do I know what I actually need to do?
Exactly.
Especially if I need to go in and get tested for 15 different things. So it's so frustrating listening to you say this, because people, even doing the right thing, are probably not getting the testing that they need to confirm that they have, you know, herpes or other STIs.
Yep.
That's just mind-blowing.
Yes.
No wonder it's so common, America.
Yep, and that's actually the way that it happened was that herpes can take up to 30 years to show up.
Oh, geez.
There's no...
Wow.
It's
Does that
really...
Count?
It right. It can literally, it can sit at the base of your spine and you can be asymptomatic for 30 years.
Wow.
And in my special case, I had the Nexplanon, which is a form of birth control that goes in your arm.
I hated that shit.
Yeah. Had the, it's like a little, it's a little,
no, I had it, I got it, I'm so sorry to
no,
cut
you're
you
fine.
Off, but the summer before my junior year, I got it, and I had this massive ass fucking
bruise
on my arm.
Yep,
it was like, someone, it was like, he just socked me in the fucking arm.
Walter!
And he was just like, let me just break this window, but it was my arm. And so, okay.
For like a week and a half.
Yes.
It didn't go away.
Hurt like
yes.
a bitch.
Yep.
And apparently I was told afterwards by a non-medical professional, but I believe her for some fucking reason, that it was meant for women that were like heavier. And so it didn't work on me because
right.
I had my period for an entire year.
Yeah. No,
an entire
same
year.
Preach. I literally was spotting for almost 9 months.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, absolutely not. They put me on oral birth control along with my Nexplanon. So I literally was a crazy person.
So you were like on Accutane.
Yeah. At that point, it was so bad. Just to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
I had to go on a second birth control.
Hey, isn't it great being a man?
I say all the time, like, whenever she's complaining about, like, girl stuff, I was like, I can never be a woman. That's way too hard.
Yeah, it was bad.
Wait, why did they just take it out of your arm?
So, no, I had it for 3 years. Yeah. So, I had it for the duration that I was supposed to. And after I actually started taking my oral birth control for a little while, the bleeding stopped and I was able to go off. But I was so irregular because I was already irregular before I got the next one on put in.
Yeah, go off, queen.
Right. And so, I got the next one on taken out and went to go get an IUD put in. Bless any of a woman's heart who gets an IUD. That was, I don't get cramps, thank the Lord, that I don't get as bad of cramps as some women have said to say they have, because these were the worst cramps when I tried to get this IUD ever.
Wait, when you first got it or when you like had it and when you had your period?
No, when I first got it and literally 4 days later, my partner at the time was like, that doesn't feel right. And I was like, okay, go back in. They do an ultrasound on me to see my cervix had pulsed so much and contracted so much that it pushed my IUD out of my uterus into my like cervix wall and literally was not in place anymore. And so they had to remove it literally almost a week later.
You ever see those like pictures of babies that come out with the IUDs?
No.
Yeah, what? They're like holding it in their hand. Yeah.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah. So that's like some girls, like they like find out they're pregnant. They're like, yes. What? How?
And then the baby comes out with an IUD. Yeah.
And I think that's honestly part of the reason why sometimes that happens is because literally literally contractions at that point pushed my like it into my cervix. So
you're
I had
birthing
to get,
hips.
Yes. So I got it removed, and not even a week and a half later found out about my herpes.
Yeah.
So what happened was
having a bad week.
It was like a month
it
kind
sounds
of that I
like,
found out.
Honestly, the stories that you're telling, it sounds like you're in the doctor's office once a week and
literally
they're just like,
I was.
Ashley, we
no,
don't
no,
want to
no.
see you.
My like my actual family family practitioner knows me at like first name basis. She cusses in front of me at this point. Like that's how often I was going. But thank God when it came to like all of my like birth control stuff, I was going to a different doctor. I was actually going to like a gynecologist. Yeah. But I went to go get it taken out, and the week and a half or 2 weeks later, a day after my birthday, I like had started getting like weird symptoms, and I was just like, what is this thing? And at the time, like, we had started using condoms again, obviously, because I no longer had any birth control in my system. So I was like, okay, I don't have the IUD anymore, I don't have the next one on.
Yeah, you're being smart. Yes. You were family planning.
Yes. And so I was like, all right. And he was like, oh, you know, maybe it's a you know, you can get like friction burns from condoms sometimes. I don't know if anyone else knew that. But it can tear you, like friction wise, if you don't have enough lubrication, it can tear you. Anyway, he was like, oh, well, maybe it's just a friction burn, or maybe you're having a reaction to the latex. And I was like,
wouldn't you
I'm
feel
glad.
That burning though?
Well, I mean, not really. If you like, if it tore afterwards and then you were like, ouch, and then it got like infected or something.
Yeah, it's like getting
so
a sunburn. You don't notice that for a couple hours.
Yeah. Well, damn.
Damn.
No, I'm just saying I've never had one. I don't know.
This is true. This is true. All the beautiful melanin in your skin just helps you.
That
there.
And after a while I just stopped going outside.
Yeah. If you have any white friends, go to the beach with them or go to the pool with them, and you're just gonna have to like remind them every like hour to put on more sunscreen.
Well, I'm not gonna be able to remind them because I'm not gonna think about it.
He's like, I don't even know. He just sees us turning red.
Yeah,
and it's like lobster.
I'm also not like a beach person. Yes. It's like I haven't been to the beach too much. Yeah. And I don't like the ocean. It's scary. Mm-hmm.
It is really scary.
It is. Which is hilarious because I'm literally taking him to California.
I just think it's hilarious how many people underestimate the ocean.
Yeah, right. All just sucks you in and you're like.
This is now a nautical horror podcast. Right. Release the Kraken.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so I found out and I had been tested. So it was at this point where literally had a full STD panel, and they told me I was literally my doctor came in and was like, for the first time in God knows how many years, Ashley, I can tell you that you are 100% clean. And there I was, 2 years later, with a herpes diagnosis.
For the first time.
Literally. And so it was a wild ride for that first, like, month and a half. I lost my relationship over it. That was crazy in itself because we were living in the same house.
So you did not have any symptoms? You weren't showing anything until...
Until 3 days before I got my diagnosis. Okay. So, which was the crazy part, and I guess I haven't said this yet. The reason that I got it was because they took out my Nexplanon, and estrogen and progesterone can, what is in birth control, can deflect the symptoms and hide any form of the virus.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty much subsiding all of my, like, symptoms until I removed every single form of birth control, and literally a week and a half later...
It broke through the firewall.
Shields up! I should have kept birth control.
Captain, they're inside the ship already!
So, yeah. So, that's how that all went about. And then found out, and I've been living with it for about a year and some change now, and... I'm still living life. It hasn't really changed really anything.
Can you explain, like, is there any way that you can't transmit it while actively having a flare up? Like, let's just say you're like really in the mood. You're right. Like, I need to get down and right. dirty. Is there any way that you can?
my biggest, so no. So there is not a way. If you're having a flare up, there's medication.
Yeah. Is it kind of like HIV where you can, like, take medication and kind of, like, subsides?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So once you get an outbreak or you're feeling it coming on, you take the medication and you have to take it for 7 days. And then 7 days after that, you can't have any intercourse. So you literally have to let the medicine run its course.
So it's for about 14 days. Okay.
And some people have to take more doses of it. So everyone's body is different with it. So you can either take more doses of it, or some people, like myself now, I don't take my medicine unless I need it. So it really just depends on your body. Like, I know that my ex who had it, he was taking it constantly. Like, he has, like, IBS and really bad, like, just body inner, like, internal issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was causing stress on him. And any form of stress, alcohol, if you're not eating right, it's all different with everyone. But if you're not doing something right, or your body's stressed,
your homeostasis is off, yeah,
then you can have an outbreak. And wow. Some people it's worse, some people it's less. So I've had it for about a year and some change, and I've had about 3 outbreaks now. And first one's always the worst. So that's, you know, for anyone that's potentially gets it later on.
First the worst, second the best.
Right. Right. So first was the worst. I literally had an ice pack on my hoo-ha for like 2 days, and I was like, this is the worst thing ever. How am I going to live with this? And then the second and third time I got it, literally second time, didn't even know I had it. It popped up in a different place. And so I was like, that's different. didn't know that was there. And then my third time, it didn't hurt that bad. And I was like, oh, this is okay. Let me just take my medicine. I can't have intercourse. And it's been fine ever since. Literally, it's actually crazy. Ever since I started dating him and was done with, like, the stress of my last relationship and got out of the situation that I was living in, I've had 0 outbreaks since I started. Like, I had one right when we first started dating, and ever since then haven't had one. And so from what I've seen, my biggest triggers are stress and like eating. Like, I found out 2 years ago that I had a gluten allergy, and I realized that anytime, yes, I have celiac. So anytime, like, I eat accidentally,
how inconvenient it was to
have mm-hmm. celiac,
to have a gluten allergen.
Yeah.
Until I realized that my girlfriend can't eat at like 80% of the places that I like to eat at.
Yep.
Whataburger.
Yes.
Any burger joint.
Yes.
Any
sad days.
Yeah.
Because I love fried food. Like,
yeah.
I can't get on a meal plan I can't do that. Someone tried to get me to do keto, and I almost fought them. Well,
I mean, it's kind of sad, but you know, our parents have celiacs, and we used to go to, like, eat it in and out when we were younger. They'd be like, could I get my burger wrapped in lettuce, please?
Just like
Is it like really severe to the point where like if he eats like fried food and then he kisses you, you like
so
have
that's
Benadryl?
Actually a thing. Yeah. People do have like obviously have it bad enough, but mine is not from what I've noticed.
It's just kind of like a lactose intolerance.
Mine like obviously I have celiac, so it's not just like an intolerance to gluten. Like if I keep continuing to put gluten in my body, I can get either intestinal or colon cancer or stomach cancer. So if
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, if you continue to like obviously if people are like but it's usually at that point it's because you're literally ripping like your intestine, like the food that is going through and not being processed technically correctly, you're ridiculously like ruining your insides at that point. So that's why like people that do have like intolerances, like it's really, you should be careful with that, because it's like if I were to keep eating gluten, it would probably take a while, but I would possibly end up getting some sort of either infection or whatever.
That's for all the lactose intolerant people who keep eating dairy when they know it's
So it is, it can get scary. Like obviously finding out you have celiac, you're like, shit, I can't eat fucking carbs or bread anymore. But it's like, you can, like there's a lot of alternatives nowadays.
Well, definitely. Now our parents found out about it in like the early 2000s. Oh my gosh. So there was like
nothing.
One thing of bread in like
Ooties
the entire
city. Ooties was like the only thing they could eat.
Ooties is horrible.
Yeah, literally.
You toast it and it's like biting into a rock.
Yes.
And you chew it and gets stuck in your mouth. Yeah.
Nothing gluten-free stays warm, I swear it.
It's made out of high advanced polymers and some chemistry. They blended together a bunch of chemicals
and it never rises out. Like your pizza's like, flat.
No.
You're just talking about this.
Like she tells me all this stuff that has like gluten in it, and I'm like, I don't know, because I like eat it, and then she's like, oh yeah, I can't have that. It's gluten. And I'm like, really? This too?
Everything. It's just like on a checklist at this point. He's like, she can't have that.
Like one day I was making pasta. I was like, you want some? She's like, I can't. It's gluten in it. I was like, are you serious?
It's
like,
pasta.
I eat pasta all the time. How am I supposed to share it with you?
So yeah, gluten-free noodles now for me.
I'm like.
But yeah, no. Mine is not as that. I have to literally ingest it.
Okay.
But mine's not as bad. But I found out that is like one of my intolerances. With my herpes is that like it's a trigger. If I'm too stressed is like my biggest one. If I'm super stressed, I think that's really like my homeostasis is just fucked and my body's like, all right, here's your symptom of being stressed. But I've been very grateful to be where I am at now with a good job, a good routine. I'm drinking a lot more water than I was back when as well. So I haven't knocking on wood, haven't had any other outbreaks since then. So it's been good. I live a normal life. It really doesn't change anything other than dating and just being open about it. And I guess as soon as I got it, it was really weird because as soon as I got it, I was the most empowered that I had ever felt, almost because I had a purpose now and I had like a just a thing about myself that almost made me different, and everyone saw it in such a negative light, but I was actually like wanting to educate people on it. Like I had always been into psychology. I'd always been into like the medical side of stuff. All my family has like diabetes, and like, I've always wanted to know more about that stuff. Like it makes me very interested. And so when I got it, I literally posted it in all of my dating bios. I posted it on my personal Instagram, and I literally same day came out about it. The 24th of April, I was like, I have herpes. And it was just a crazy unfolding of events from my relationship to finding out like who was really my friend at that point. It was crazy.
I'm confused. You lost friends over that announcement?
It was one of those things where my boyfriend at the time was very like, it wasn't even just the fact that I had herpes, but it was the way that I went about it, I guess.
Okay.
Offended people.
Yeah.
And so it mostly wasn't my friends.
Because I don't think, unless you're rubbing genitals with your friends, right. I don't think it would really impact them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, I don't do that with my friends.
Yes.
Thank you for informing us.
Yes. But at that time.
You don't know what love is.
Yo, but wow. Yeah, no, it was crazy at that. She's like, I don't know about all sides.
No, it was like, I don't love you, I hate you.
But it was just crazy. Yeah, no, that's kind of my my coming out about it story and how I got it and just kind of the life that I've lived since I've gotten it. It was a roller coaster.
It's, how do you like go about, because you said you put it in your profile.
Yeah, for sure.
Like for instance, I did something not similar, but like since I'm studying sexual education, yeah. I'm like, oh, studying to become a sexual educator at Arizona State University. Yes. Don't ask me about your throat chlamydia, like as a joke.
Yeah.
And like people, it was like an opening line sort of.
Yes.
So was it an opening line for your dating profiles?
It really actually became a thing where mostly males wanted to comment on it and then ghost me afterwards. So it became this thing of like the naiveness, I guess, and just making themselves feel better about it. I literally would have guys hop into my DMs and be like, hey, so-and-so, just trying, obviously, Tinder starter conversation, whatever. They go to read about my profile. So like on Hinge, it's a little bit harder because you have to like scroll through.
Yeah.
Tinder, it's right there, blatant. Like you can see it. Just depended on like the dating app that it was in. And they would not know. I would put HSV too because I was like, I don't want to just throw herpes out there. As much as I don't want it to be.
No, because it's like one of those. Yeah, it's like one of those.
It's so jarring for people.
It's like it's a very blunt term. And a lot of people are scared by it.
Absolutely.
And then they automatically think of like cold sores. And they're like, ew.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, it just, yeah. So I was like, okay, HSV too, and we'll see who looks it up. I had some guy literally add me on Snapchat just to 2 seconds after reading into my bio more. He was like, said something like, ew, you have herpes, you nasty bitch. He's like, you thought I was going to sleep with that, and then unfriended me. And I was just like,
you nearly had him.
Right. I nearly fooled him. Like, it was just one of those things where you really, like, my... Trey's just dying over here.
You siren.
Damn, I almost had him. I would have got away with it, too.
It really was one of those things where, like, people almost felt like I was just, like, offending them, like, in a certain way. Like, they were, like... I was like blatantly putting it out there for people to see, and they were coming at me as if like I was, if you don't want to talk to someone who has it, literally I put in most of my bios, like if you're not wanting to sexually educate yourself or you're not okay with someone who has HSV too, don't talk to me. Do not swipe right.
Yeah.
You assume these guys can read.
Yeah.
That's so
pretty
sweet.
Pretty much. Yes.
I had a hard time reading her bio, I'm not gonna lie.
And so
don't write in Croatian. Yeah, that's right. My tip.
I love how you say that now. You didn't say that, like on the first date, so she was just like,
how am I supposed to go about, hey, by the way, I can't read?
No, I
when
actually
I'm looking at the menu on our first date, I'm just like, this one with the picture.
No, but it's actually crazy because then there was like another side of it where I did have guys that were like, so how does this work? I was like what? And they were like, well, like, can you still suck dick? And I was like,
still kind
do
of
you know what
agent
like
it,
let's you obviously haven't researched it, you just saw the word herpes when you looked it up. Yeah. And you were like, all right. And so that was my thing. Like, I think literally a couple weeks before I matched with him, I went on a date with, not even a date, literally this guy was like, oh, I'll pick up all these things, come over, it's late, like a hookup. It was gonna be a hookup at that point, and I knew it, and I was just so like mentally done with myself, like with having herpes, and like I was just not having any humanity in the world at that point. Like I literally was just like, all guys suck, I'm over it, like I'm just so done with, like,
I am the SHSV too,
right? Like literally. And so I just felt like a blob at that point, like. And so I was like, okay, you know, I'll go over whatever. He, like, we had cool conversation for the day, and I went over, and he was like, so what was that thing that you had to tell me? And I was like, so you didn't read my bio. You didn't look at anything. And I was like, but you invited me over.
No, it's literally all they do is just look, pictures swipe right. And then they're like, then they go back and they're like, oh, this person that I matched with, if it's like Bumble, they're like, this person that I matched with, let's now read their bio after I matched with them.
Yep.
Sometimes they don't even do that shit.
Yeah. And so
because they can't read.
Yeah, because they can't read. And so I went over and told him.
Yeah.
Literally, as I'm, like, laying, like, on him. And it was so, he was like, so what was that thing you had to tell me? I was like, well, I have this thing. And he was just like, I could literally feel his whole body just go rigid. And I was like, all right, so this is how that's going to go. And he was like, you can still suck dick, right? And I was just like.
In person, he said that.
In person.
Oh, my.
And I was just like,
gotta love dudes.
He's literally heard, and I love him for it so much. He's literally heard all these, like, stories, and he just is like, oh my god, fuck, guys. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, guys, if there's any takeaway from this, don't be afraid to go to some adult education classes. Please. You know, if you never got your, you know, middle school certificate, and then you need to, you know, expand your vocabulary.
I never had it, so.
No, literally the third message, when we matched, I think, like, second or third message he had sent me was, by the way, I, like, looked up what HSV2 was, and I'm okay with it. And I was like,
aww. Oh my god,
I looked at him, I was like, it's not AIDS.
Literally,
because I'm like, then I might have been like, oh, I don't know,
we gotta think about this one.
He had to sit on it for a couple more hours. No, it was AIDS.
Like,
yeah,
no, she was like, did you like read my bio? I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't like know a ton, I didn't like read a whole bunch, but like I know what it is.
Yes.
It doesn't bother me.
So from your perspective, dating an individual with, is it considered an STD?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Dating an individual with an STD, does that like.
I don't think about it.
You don't think about it at all. There's nothing that you think about. You think about the celiac thing more than you think about this.
Yes.
Well, because it just comes up a lot more. But I don't.
You eat three meals a day, Naomi.
I'm not bothered by it. Like.
Okay.
Because like, it was funny because like the first time we. Like met, she was like telling me everything, but like with like a hint of like kind of like fear in her voice, and I was gonna like just kind of like stop. But like, I guess she was so used to people like defining her by it. I was just like,
okay,
shit happens.
Yeah, like, no, that's fair.
Like everyone has some shit that's happened to them that was out of their control. That was one of the things that was kind of like, you know, I don't know. Maybe somewhere down the road she could have been like preventative, but it's kind of like she didn't like know, so it's like,
thanks George Bush for taking away our sexual education.
Yeah,
anyways, so
yes, him alone.
Yeah, just George
Bush. Just George. I blame a lot of things on him. If something gets knocked over into my kitchen by my cat, fuck George Bush. Anyways, so moving forward in a strange path, this is a weird anecdote, but I was heard about this girl who her boyfriend had an almond allergy and she sucked his dick and he had to take Benadryl because he was that severely allergic to almonds.
Oh my gosh.
She was just like,
just kind of poison him.
Yeah, so
oh my gosh,
you were just like, you were telling that story about like sucking dick and I was like, I have to tell this story.
What a way to die though.
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, how did he die? Well, it's funny.
Drink some almond milk.
Yeah.
You know,
right. He has an almond allergy. Oh my God. But get this. He didn't ingest the almond.
I did.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So, so you don't think about it. You're just like living your
life. I
don't
think about a lot of things, but no, that is one of the things that I don't think about. I told her all this before, so she already knows I'm pretty much brain dead.
Yeah. Okay, fair.
I wasn't shocked. I think I was just more so like, there's people out there. Like, I knew there was, like, a lot of my friends were kind of like on the fence about it. Like, I really did have some friends who was like, oh, I didn't, you know, I don't know how I would feel about that, but I would be willing to work through it with a partner if they ever told me. With him, I think, like, our, not to get sappy again, but like, our connection was so instant. Like, we're so much like each other and we have such the same. We have such the same, We have such the same, like, thought processes. Yeah. Like, as much as I am maternal, even though he says he's, like, not, like, just a fatherly
I'm figure. Not built to be a dad.
I just
Caden's get him a dad like, joke. You're not my dad.
Well, it's so funny because like because sometimes people like critique how I like handle my son.
Yeah.
And like I don't baby talk my son. Like I just think it's weird. I don't do it to
That's
my.
Fair.
I don't do it to my dog. Yeah. I don't do it to my son. So like he'll be talking to me, and I talk to him like he's a grown man, and he understands what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
people, Johnson, did you get that file with the quarterly and,
like,
reports?
And, like, sometimes like yeah, and like sometimes I cuss around my son. Like you need to watch what you say. Like he's just gonna pick it up, and I'm like. They're words.
You see the Cavaliers yesterday? Like, need to work on their defense.
The thing is, I'd rather him learn a word from me so I can be like, hey, there's time and places for you to say that.
Right.
Rather than him hear from someone and then he just comes home and he's like, man, dad, fuck. And I'm like, dang, I don't know where I got that from.
The first time I said the F word in front of my dad was we were like at the pool and we were like, we were getting into the pool and it was like the YMCA. Like it was a very family oriented place.
Not the YMCA.
And I looked up at
you
him.
Heathen.
And I was like 5 at the time and I looked up at him and I was like, this water's fucking cold.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, you know what? We don't use that term, and we just moved on. Mm-hmm. And it was just a simple thing.
It's just, I don't know, it's hard for some people to understand. I think people have this tendency to just get offended for people, which is like, I still to this day don't understand. Are you confused by what I mean?
No,
by that?
I know, I'm like trying to like, I know what you're saying, yeah. And I'm trying to like, come up with a response because I know exactly what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. And I'm trying to come up with a nice response.
Yeah, but like, the only reason like I notice it is just because it happens a lot. Like because like I'm like African American, sometimes someone will say something and someone's like, you can't say that, it's offensive. And I'm like, dude, it's fine. I don't care.
You're just living your life. You probably didn't even read the conversation.
Didn't even think into it like that.
Like, well, I'm also thinking that's an interesting strategy because apparently one of the biggest problems in child abuse lawsuits is that kids lack the vocabulary to describe what was done to them. And so the investigators need to have, you know, testimony from a victim about, you know, what they experienced. And if the kid's like, coochie or, you know, all the like juvenile names people give genitals,
right.
It's much harder to, you know, sit in front of a jury and say, look, you know, we have the testimony from the victim saying, you know, this. And so I think it is important, you know, there's this conservative backlash against sex education in schools, which is completely overblown based off of a bunch of nothing. But I think one of the most important things that everyone should like fundamentally understand is you don't need to be teaching kids about sex, but you do need to teach them about anatomy.
Yes.
Like
at
the barest minimum. Give them the proper vocabulary
to
understand what they are.
There's this mom that I follow on social media, and she says that she taught her kids like basic anatomy terms, and she was like, "But we don't use that in public because like not everyone knows those terms, and I don't want you to like educate other people if they don't want to be educated."
Yeah.
So they'll be like, she said that she was in a public restroom, and her daughter was like, my vagina hurts. And then she was like, oh, wait, that's not the public term. My coochie wawa hurts.
Oh,
and
she's like screaming. No, we
I feel
actually.
Like coochie wawa is worse than
vagina.
Yeah,
like,
I'd be more disturbed if my kid said that. Like, whoa, where'd you find that?
I think I saw coochie wawa at the Dream Palace last week.
Oh, my God.
Where did you learn that?
Yeah, no, we talked about that like a few weeks ago. Like I was like, I would like to teach my kids penis, vagina, like these are your boobs, like, you know, your breasts, like being
it's
able,
titties.
Yeah. Like, and that's actually, I'd never even really thought about that of the point of like kids not being able to like
enunciate.
Yeah.
What's going
like
on,
talk
yeah.
about that.
I feel like that. And then also like some people just take a real roundabout way of teaching them. Like, I think some people have, like, the preconceived notions that they're supposed to learn this at a certain age and learn this at a certain age. And I'm just kind of like...
It's literally...
I was in the car riding with my son. And I was taking him back to his mom. And I was listening to a song. And it was a song that I liked. And I was, like, listening to it a lot, like, over the past weekend, like, while I was, like, cleaning and stuff. And he, like, was, like, learning a little bit of it. So, like, he knew, like, a part of, like, the hook. And I thought it was like the funniest thing. I was like, this is great. He's learning words.
Yeah.
Like he's too, like he's not supposed to like, you know, well, according to society, he's not supposed to be able to like put together like full sentences. And he doesn't. But like I don't know. I feel like he knows a lot more words now from like when I started like seeing him again. I was deployed like the last half of last year and all that stuff. So I got back at the beginning of this year instead of it's
imagining you in the military is so funny because you have like nose yeah. piercings and ear piercings and like some like
that's exactly why I did all of this.
Okay, got it.
This
got
is
it.
How I
express this, yourself.
Yeah, this is because I never had like no, when I was fair. At my dad's house, I was like, can I get my ears pierced? They were like, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, can I get a tattoo? They're like, no, because you're going to look unprofessional. I was like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm already getting looked at different because I'm black. I'm sure a tattoo and an earring is not going to make people think any worse of me than they already do.
It's going to be the earring with like the peacock feather or something.
Well, see, I would never wear. Well, actually, I can't lie. I actually might. I was going to say I would never wear that, but like I envisioned it and I was like, oh, that could be kind of cool with the right outfit.
Yeah. Fair enough.
We'll see.
I'm not a teacher, and I'm sure any educators listening to this podcast might push back, but I read an article a couple months ago which was discussing literacy skills in kids, and one of the things they talked about was we still don't have a good idea how to teach literacy. Like, we still don't know, like, the best strategy for teaching kids how to read and how to understand and break down sentences. But the one thing that's consistent in research is kids who know a lot about topics are more likely to have high literacy skills. If you're reading a topic on something you're unfamiliar with completely, mm-hmm. not only are you processing a topic that's completely foreign that you have nothing related to, you're also trying to learn the words and how they relate to each other.
Yeah. Sure.
So if you give a kid a test on baseball, and this was, I think, the example the study used, and the kids have never like been exposed to baseball, right. like they're from a culture that doesn't do baseball, they're not going to do very well on it, even if they're really good readers.
Yeah.
They have high literacy skills. But if a poor reader reads the same passage, they're going to score even better on it because, again, they understand the basic principles at play. So I do think part of any successful education for young kids has to be exposure to a wide variety of things.
Yeah.
You have to talk with them and explain things to them and give them like a well-rounded understanding of the world, because basically all they are is sponges. They're just sucking up information and making connections and neural pathways. And so I think a lot of parents don't want to have awkward conversations with their kids or conversations they see as being potentially awkward. It's the whole, well, I don't want to tell my kids about gay marriage because, it's disgusting and whatnot. What will they think? But it's like, no, kids accept everything at face value. Kids know nothing. Yeah. Everything, they're like, oh, okay, that's how the world works. And they just add that to their toolbox.
Yeah, and, like, my son's, like, really good with, like farm animals and, like stuff like that. Like, he knows all those. And, like, he knows, like, car and house and, like, he knows, like,
the concepts.
Yeah, that stuff. So, like, he'll be trying to tell me whatever, but, like, he'll, like, is, like, gibberish for most of it. But then he's, like, Mimi's house, talking about his aunt on his mom's side. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I said, like, oh, they have a farm. And he goes, no, daddy, a ranch.
I was like, my fault. Yeah, what an idiot.
I was like, that's my fault. I didn't know the difference. I didn't grow up on a ranch. I didn't know. So he's like, and she was there for it. It was
a very cute interaction.
I was like, oh yeah, you're gonna go back to Mimi's house and go to the farm. He was like, no, daddy, a ranch.
He literally turned around, he's like, you do not talk to me like that, sir. Like, so kidding. But it was so funny because Caden was just like, no, like,
he was like, a ranch. And I turned at him and I was like, who are you talking to? Like, I was like, lower your voice. I know I'm dumb. Okay.
I saw a post on Tumblr. Someone was talking to their niece and the niece was drawing a picture of a deer. And she's like, oh, it's a boy deer and I'm coloring it blue. And the well-intentioned person telling the story was like, well, it could be a girl deer too. Deers can be boys and girls. And the niece looks at her and says, well, his antlers, so it has to be a boy.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I love how blunt kids are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like...
So, Ashley, you obviously know that he has a child, hopefully. it's not a shock
that I said you have a child.
This is a pet rock we're talking about.
Oh my gosh, what?
How did you just like tell her on the first date that you had a child?
Well, I have pictures of him on my social media.
Okay.
I was very blunt about it. I was like, yes, that is my
kid, not my niece or my like nephew or whatever.
I literally put in there, that was a picture of me and him. We were like at the park, I think, and I was like, yes, that is my son. Like,
okay.
If they read, cool. And then if they ask, they're like, I'm like, yeah, it's my kid. Like, I'm not gonna hide it.
Is it hard to like date with a child? Because I know that you had a kid pretty, like she was pregnant when you were 19.
I was 19 and then I turned 20 yeah. and then he was born 2 days later.
Yeah.
For me personally, I haven't had, people think that I like use him to like get girls because he's like
the cutest
little like thing. Cute or whatever. But like really, I just do it because I'm just like, if anyone just has a problem with me having a kid, then whatever, I just nip that in the bud right yeah. there.
No, it's very fair.
So like I haven't had too many issues. Like actually, I haven't had any issues. I say that like nobody has a problem with me. But I think it's mostly just because they assume that I don't really like take care of them most. I feel okay. like they assume that like
I'm you're picking just them up of,
on the weekend.
Yeah,
which is fine. I don't mind. Like it's whatever. I know there's a lot of like stigma around, you know, dads and deadbeat dads and stuff like that. And, you know, it's going to take more than just like, hey, I'm the one good one to change that. So I'm yeah. not really too torn up about it. But like, I know that it's probably a lot harder for like women because it's like a whole nother stigma on that side.
With having like a baby daddy.
Like, oh, wow. And, yeah. You have like all these issues going on. Blah, blah, blah. And like me and his mom are like, we're fine. We're cool. We okay. talk. We communicate, everything's good, like everything's fine. You know, like she knows I have a girlfriend, all that stuff. Like, you know, if anything ever comes up, like tell each other, you know. But like everything's like fine. So like I don't like know like what's going on like with her dating life, like because, you know, that's not my business. Yeah. You know, but like until like she gets in like a serious relationship, she's like, hey, like I'm gonna have this person around my son, okay, cool, you know. But like, you know, like we're not together anymore. That's not my business. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't need to know that.
You don't want to like, be like, oh, she's dating someone who's so much less attractive than me. Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't really think that high of myself. So I think everyone's more attractive than me. So it's fine. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I guess I'm a lot more like nonchalant about a lot of things than most people are, which is a strength and a weakness that I have. Because it's led to problems in relationships because I don't necessarily show the amount of emotion that the other person is.
You do not emote and you don't show how much you appreciate the other person.
No. That's not it. It's like if something happens, like I feel like they're expecting me to be a lot more upset than I seem. But it's like I don't like.
Oh, no.
I'm not like, oh, my God.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm like. Literally every time he tells me this, where like people have been like, almost like needing him to have like more of an emotion towards something, like that has been my biggest like just headache saver in our relationship so far, because I came from relationships where everything was an issue, where yeah. little things I would get blown up on at because of just whatever. And also like not even just like romantic relationships, but my platonic relationship with my father, same thing. Everything gets blown out of proportion. So when I started dating someone that was like so nonchalant about everything, like his term to me is, it's just a, like, it's just a this, it's just yeah. a that, like, it's just
genital herpes. Right. That's what you said. That's literally exactly what you said.
I actually said it's not AIDS.
yeah,
but,
right.
But like, so the last relationship that I had, yeah, I mean, you know, but I've talked to you about it.
Yeah.
Like, but like, it was just bad, like, you know, like she would be upset about this thing and I'm like, okay, like, what do you need me to do? Like, and she just felt like I didn't care because I wasn't just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, like I don't like.
Was it like issues that she had with you or was it issues that she had in her life?
It was a little bit of both. Like, so it's like, I'm not going to put all our business out there, but she had like a bad relationship with her dad. I'll leave it at that. And like, you know, and it came up a lot, you know. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, like, you know, like, get over it. Like, it's been however many years, because that's not my business. That's not my place. I didn't go through that. I had both my parents in my life. I don't know how that feels. So yeah. Take however long you need with that. It's whatever. But, like, she would always kind of, like, use it as a, like, you know, like, you know, like, you're just like my dad. You're just like my ex. Like, you know, this and that. And when I would be like, okay, like,
I'm just your dad.
Like, yeah, like, she would be
so
like,
weird at family dinners.
So, like, she would be like, you know, like, you don't even care, like, you're a piece of shit, and blah, 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 because I didn't argue with her on it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like, oh, you know, like, no, I'm not like that, like, it's not like that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, if you are so angry that, like, you don't want to have a coherent conversation, I'm fine with that. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can go do you. Like, my thing was, like, if she was too upset, like, she would be yelling at me, and I don't do yelling. I don't like to yell. I don't like raising my voice. I'm not an aggressive person, so I don't like confrontation. So she just would be yelling and, like, you know, like, pointing at my temple and, like, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, when you want to talk, like, then I'll talk. And then that would make her, like, more mad. Like, no, we're going to talk about this right now. I'm like, okay, well, you're not talking. So
she wanted, like, a Spanish soap opera. Yes. You wanted, like a BBC detective series where it's just you sitting in a room with clocks ticking, waiting for something to happen. Yeah,
and then, like Ashley said, though, but it also went, like, with my parents, too. Like, you know, like my dad, like, he would be, like, fussing at me, and I'm just like, okay, yes, sir, whatever, to get through the conversation because, like, whatever. And then he's just like, you know, like what's that tone in your voice? And I'm like, it's literally nothing because it's like whatever.
It's me speaking.
Yeah, so he's just like, you know, it's taking his disrespect from him, taking his disrespect from some women. So that's like that was like a big issue I've had in like past relationships is just like the way that I approach some stuff because I'm very, very nonchalant. And like Ashley, like it's weird because she hasn't like dealt with that. So like I gave her like that necklace and like the pendant fell off of it. And she was like freaking out. She was like, I need to find it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. And she was like, no, like you gave it to me. Like, and I was like, it's fine. It's literally, it's just a pendant. Like, it's not like life or death. Like, yeah. You're not going to die if you don't find it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I'll
and
get
I
you
think
another
that's
one.
What you like get to know, like as you, cause you learn most of your communication skills from your parents. And so you're like moving into relationships and like living on your own and having these communication skills in platonic and also like romantic relationships. It's so strange the way that you develop your communication skills as an individual. Yeah. Cause like you'll be in a relationship with someone like you mentioned, and they'll be like screaming at you and like hitting your temple and being like, you're just like my dad. And then the next relationship that you're in could be totally opposite. And you're like, what the frick? And you have to relearn communication skills. Yeah. And it's just, it's such a weird dynamic.
Yeah. It was like a puzzle piece with us. Like, I just felt like I had literally been like searching this whole time for someone that just like was it. And when we met and like everything just kind of clicked, like for me, like And it's like,
I think that's sweet because I believe in romance.
Oh,
I was like, shut up.
No, but it was one of those things where my, like, the toxicity from where I had come from was, like, material things were everything. Like, the necklace. Yeah. Like, certain things where I would literally just get so, like, caught up in because that was so much of my upbringing. Like, my parents, like, everything that we owned, it was like, you don't touch dad's stuff. Dad's stuff is expensive. Dad's stuff is this. Dad's stuff is that. And it's like, but maybe I wanted to use dad's thing. Or like what happened, you know, like whatever. If I
why did you buy it if you don't
want it? Right, if you don't want it to be used. And that's even like a thing now, like with my car, like my gas mileage, or not gas mileage, my mileage on my car. Like my dad, my whole life, he was leasing vehicles. And that's just another financial problem that goes with family. But he literally got to a point where it was like mileage on a vehicle was so like, you're not allowed to do that. And like my car is about to hit 100,000. And literally I keep telling him, I'm like, oh my God, like I need to get a new car. And I did like, it's just something that I freak out about all the time. So when I met him, and you know, the whole pendant situation, I was literally so torn up about it. And it like gives me anxiety to the point where he's just like, Ashley, like it's not a big deal. Like you
that was
don't...
just the most recent one. Like yeah. There's been like a bunch, like, cause like a lot so of people, many. Like a lot of like guys, like nowadays, like, they're like really into like sneakers and stuff. And they like, don't crease your sneakers.
Oh my God,
don't scuff, like don't step on my stuff. It's like whatever, you know? And like she would like step on my shoes. Like I got a new pair of shoes and they were white and she stepped on them. She was like, oh my God, I put a scuff on your shoes. I was like,
oh, his hats. Every time, like if we kiss, he's wearing his bill forward.
So people are like sneakerheads. I really like hats.
Oh my gosh.
So I really, so I really like hats. So like one time I was wearing a hat and I had it on backwards and like she kissed me and like she got a little bit of makeup on it. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, cause it's gonna be hard to get out. I was like, it's a piece of clothing. I was like, it's a hat. Like, I'm gonna wear it regardless. Like, I bought it to wear it.
You
like,
can wash it.
Like, it's not a big deal. You
Tide
know, she was
sticks?
Freaking out.
Amazing.
But like,
she's like, Stains, there you go.
Yeah, so like, she would step on my shoes and be like, I'm sorry, because she knows how other guys are about yeah. it, you know? And there's like, I'm just like, stuff gets worn. I'm yeah. like, I don't care. And it's
not that my current partner doesn't appreciate when I step on his feet. It's the it's the amount that I step on his feet. So like it's ironic. No, it's not ironic. It's just hilarious how many times in a day I can just step on his toes. It's not like me scuffing his shoes that he has an issue with.
Oh, you're
it's
actually just, stepping on his feet.
Yes, I'm literally just
that's different.
Stomping.
That's different. Maybe you change the walk where you're going.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Why are you look so confused?
He's like, why are you stepping keep on people's
clomping on his feet?
He's concerned about your right. partner's
That's feet. Physical abuse, I would argue.
I
gonna,
don't like
what, you're gonna cry? You're gonna cry when I crush your tendons?
Get over it.
My feet are sensitive. Yeah.
So anyways, what is the biggest lesson that you learned as a father, as a single? Do you consider yourself a single father?
I consider myself a co-parent because okay. I don't do it by myself.
Yeah.
And I probably couldn't do it by myself.
Okay.
Being a parent is very, very hard.
Yeah.
Being a mother is 10 times harder.
Right.
He's speaking the facts.
That's, yeah.
Poetic. Yeah. I mean, I've never been like a dude, like, yes, penis. Like I've never been testosterone.
Like, when we were like,
don't tell them what we discussed at the secret meeting.
Like, I've never just been like, yes, war, sports. Like,
I'm as not, you said, you were the captain of the football team right. and you were deployed.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I did the military. Like, I need a paycheck.
Yeah.
Like, and that's literally what I told people. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, like, how's the military? Like, oh, like, how was, like, when people go up to me, they're like, oh, thank you for your service. I'm like, I didn't do it for you.
My grandma, oh my God, my poor grandmother. She literally, I knew it was coming. I told Trey. I was like, she's literally going to look at you. She's going to tell you she loves your smile. And she's also going to tell you thank you for your service because she knows you're in the military. First off the bat, meeting him. Oh my gosh, you have the most beautiful smile. Second thing, oh, thank you so much for your service. And I can just see him like internally cringing. And he was like, thanks.
It's just like that thing where it's like, you know, like I didn't do it to serve my country because this country has not given me shit and it has not done anything for me.
Fair point.
And being in the military, I realized how much the government does not give a shit about you at all.
You're just a number with a few letters.
People don't understand this, but being in the military, you are so expendable. You die, they move on. They might put on this big show like, oh, you know, he was like such a soldier and blah, blah, blah. They replaced you 30 minutes after you died.
It's like, kind of like in the Amazon warehouses.
And no, exactly. No, because I worked there for like a couple months. It's terrible. It's,
yeah,
it's awful. And that's why like I quit because I was like, I'm not doing this again.
No,
like, I'm not doing it again.
Well, I want to throw in a shout out here. The Frito-Lay workers are currently on strike. They're fighting for unionization and recognition of a number of basic complaints they have about management. The two things that stood out for me are, one, that they were working mandatory 80-plus hour weeks to make your chips.
As a factory worker.
As a factory worker.
Oh my gosh.
The second thing was, speaking of death, apparently one of the workers died on the line and management dragged his body away from the line and replaced him with someone else so they could continue production. Don't buy your Frito-Lay chips. There are plenty of local corn chip brands in Arizona
to Food
you can
City
turn to.
And get like the knockoffs.
Oh yeah, those
the
are
chips.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, so good.
And they're guac. Food City does good guac.
Yes.
But like, yeah, so like, I don't know, for me, being a parent, it definitely, it gave me a lot more patience for sure. Not that I wasn't patient before, cause I was, but like I said, like before, like I never really like saw myself like being a father, like having kids, but like having the patient when he like doesn't like understand something. Cause I've never had to like teach someone anything because I'm dumb and no one asks me.
You
anything.
Had to teach me who Ms. Giles was.
I just corrected you. I didn't really teach you, you know, you already knew. It was just a miscommunication. But like,
see
yeah,
how
like,
patiently he explained that.
Yeah, but like, it's not like it was just one of those things where it's like, you know, like this person literally like needs me to support him to survive. This is a crazy concept to think about. Like when I'm 20 years old, like I can't even drink alcohol yet, but like I legally, but like I get, but I have to take care of like this this like small human that's supposed to grow into this like
full size human.
Yeah, so and it's also like this added like responsibility because he is a boy, so like now I have to like I'm basically what his ideal version of a man is going to look like, so he's gonna like look at me like a lot more closely than I think he is, and it's weird to think about like someone's like looking up to me, because like I'd never have considered myself like a role model because I don't do the best things, so it's just all this like thought process is just like it was like really new, so like I have matured a little bit, but like I'm still childish, but I have matured a little bit, like I look at things a lot differently, like I look at the world a lot differently, and it may and like having a kid like and them like splitting from his mom made me realize how hard it is for women like being a parent, and especially like single mothers, like it's very very hard because like she works full-time, she doesn't see him most of the week, most of the check goes like to him and like all of that stuff, you know, like I have like the freedom of like, you know, I don't see him all the time, so like if I want to get something I can be like, oh, like I'll get this one thing, you know, but like she doesn't like have that, she has him all the time, you know, so like that's like her primary focus, and like I still like get him stuff, like I'm like, you know, I make sure he has his diapers, I get him toys and all that other stuff, you know, like I do that, but I have a little bit more of like a leisure to spend my money than she does.
Yeah.
And like, and that's just one example, like, you know, and like I have a little bit more free time, and it's just like, you know, so like, you know, like shout out all moms that are, you know, raising their kids, especially if they're doing it alone, because being a woman is hard enough, and being a woman with a kid that just added stuff on top of it. So it's just, you know, I have it easy. But yeah,
wait, is there a better place for us to end off than there? That's such a good sentiment.
What I learned from this episode is sex is scary, and Trey is a patient human. I didn't
literally
know that before.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep. She learned nothing about you.
I
learned that sex is scary from
sex
Ashley.
Is scary from me. Yeah. I gave that one to you. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Would you guys like to plug your social media?
Sure.
There's nothing to see.
Okay. You can find him from me. But if you guys want to, hopefully I will be actually making my own podcast about sexual education here a little bit soon and living with herpes.
How dare you?
I know, right? I'm literally
stealing our turf.
So you have to make yours, but now you have to come back and do one with them every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Just to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have 1,000% guest episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to.
My cousin wants to make a podcast, but we're not going to have anything substantial to say.
So. Oh, you're gonna have a podcast with the cousin that you live with?
Cousin Darius. He wants to get like, so his idea is like he's gonna have a couch and like I think he's gonna videotape it for YouTube too.
Yeah.
And we're just gonna talk about, I think he said he wants to talk about like basically like stuff that we like music and sports and anime and stuff like that.
Okay.
But like it's not gonna be like set. Like I really like your guys's like podcast, and I've been listening like most of the time to my like drive to work, I'll listen. Or like when I'm going to
Thank
pick
you.
Up my son, and like I really like it. It's really great. Like,
we'll keep sending fan photos.
So me and my cousin, we're not going to be talking about anything. Like it's basically going to be like we're sitting at the lunchroom. Like, oh my god, like this is what happened.
No, it was terrible sitting at lunch with you because all you wanted to do was scream at the top of your lungs and make fun of everyone at the table. And
I've grown a lot as a person since then.
But anyways,
but yes, if you would
plug
like
your social media.
It is life, LIFEW _AMB. So life with, technically it's life with Ashley Mariah Benavides, but life with _AMB.
Okay.
If you guys want to see more and hear more, and we post a lot of it's become a couple content page at this point.
Honestly,
I will be moving back to personal. I'll be moving back to personal stuff and talking a little bit more about herpes. I've just been working a full-time job.
Don't look for me on social media. There's nothing to see.
Oh my gosh. But yes, thank you guys so much for having us. This has been,
we really appreciated your education.
So good. Yeah, absolutely.
About
well articulated
thank you.
Discussion of herpes and fatherhood.
Yes. Thank you guys. It was fun.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in. Make good choices, y'all.
Sex is scary, don't have it. Okay.
The intro and outro music of Why Will No One Date These Guys is from the song Drop by the artist Ketsa. It is licensed through Creative Commons, and we are deeply appreciative that they've allowed us to use it. If you're looking to make an impact, this show recommends giving either time or money to Planned Parenthood, a nonprofit organization that provides reproductive health care in the United States and globally. Planned Parenthood clinics and affiliates provide birth control and long-acting reversible contraception, clinical breast examinations, cervical cancer screenings, pregnancy testing, prenatal care, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections, and abortions. Planned Parenthood also does great work for those who can't afford traditional medical services. Approximately 4 out of 5 of their clients have incomes at or below 150% of the federal poverty level. Both Joel and Naomi are monthly donors to Planned Parenthood. You could be too.